This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. My name is Patsy Gill. Today, the subject is romance, sprinkled with a touch of paranormal. I have in the studio with me Todra Kendall, who is the organizing genius behind the upcoming Indie Book Fest in Orlando. Hi.
Hi, Patsy. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great. This is an exciting event. What are the dates?
We start off on July 31st and we run through August 2nd.
So, you are the genius behind this organization?
I'm one half of the genius, and I use that word loosely.
And who works with you?
My business partner is Mandy Stevens, who is also an author and runs the co-owner of our promotional business.
Well, hi, Mandy. Okay, so, you know, it's so exciting. I love these events. I was very happy when we had the Beach Babes Book Blast here a few months ago in Tampa. And these events are so exciting for both the authors and for the writers.
Yes, they definitely are. As an author, I love to go to them and meet readers and meet bloggers and meet other authors. As a reader, I definitely still fangirl over a bunch of different authors. So for me, I go and try to play cool when I see the ones who I'm really excited about meeting.
Okay, well, we have one of your authors online, right? Hi.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi there.
Jenna?
Yes.
Do you pronounce your name Jenna?
Yes, it's Jenna.
Jenna. Okay, it's J-A-N-A. Jenna Oliver. And we're talking to you. Where are you?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
You're in Atlanta, Georgia. But soon you're going to be here in Orlando for this
indeed
fantastic Indie Book Fest. And I have here the organizer. I have Todra Kendall with me.
Hi, Todra.
Hi, Jenna.
So the two of you are like, well, like all romance authors, I have found that you guys are the most energetic and busiest people in the world. Between writing and between all of the social media events and that you do, the social media and the actual physical running around from place to place, you guys are like little bunny rabbits of energy.
Well, we crash every now and again, but we never admit it. It would ruin our rep.
So you're looking forward to the event in Orlando?
Oh, I am completely. I've packed all sorts of goodies. I've actually, laid out going, I can take that, and I can take, no, I can't take that. Well, I can take that. Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to this because this, every, subsequent email updating on what's going on just looks phenomenal. And so I'm really wired for this, and I'm sure both the other authors and the bloggers and readers are as well.
Well, Todra was telling me she has 71 authors.
Yeah, yay.
And of course you are like the keynote speaker because you're so well known and a best-selling author and an international best-selling author. So tell us a little bit about you. I know that were you originally self-published and then later on got a publisher?
I did. I self-published back in 2001, back when that was a no-no.
You were a real pioneer.
I was what they refer to as an early adapter. and for some reason, it just seemed the way to go then. I wanted to learn the business, so I didn't even bother sending the books to New York because the lead time that way, it was, a year or more before you'd hear back, and you could only submit to one publisher at a time. And I'm going, life is moving on here. So I decided to go ahead and self-publish and see what I could learn from that, and I did learn a ton. And then went from there and worked for a really dynamic small press who taught me a lot about writing. And then I signed with New York. So I've had kind of that mixed sort of...
Hybrid.
Yeah, I'm a hybrid. I'm, gas or electric, whatever works. You plug me in and it works. And, which is really cool because now being independent published is not the kiss of death, as I was told. My career was gone. If I ever did this, I was gone. New York would never touch me. And I'm not fond of that word never because it's too absolute and things change. And indeed, it did change over the last good Lord, 14 years. So it's really cool to see how dynamic it's gotten now that authors have so many different choices of where to, of how to get their books into the reader's hands.
And of course, one of the routes that you went, which turned out to be very successful for you, is you entered a lot of different contests, and I know that mm-hmm. you were a finalist in many, and you won many of them.
I was quite lucky. That was the thing that got me pushed forward. After I initially self-published, I thought, well, maybe these stories are total crap. You never know. And because, you know, you look at your baby and you go, it's so cute, and it may not be cute. And so I entered a couple romance contests, and my indie work actually finaled and up against people from New York houses. And I went, maybe we have something here. And so I will always appreciate those particular contests because they pushed me forward rather than saying, maybe I'm not good enough. I went, okay, if I get even better, maybe I can start winning some of these. So that was a really a great ego boost and a kind of a shove for me to continue along that career path.
Well, your books are considered romance, right? And with a touch of paranormal? Yeah,
I write across the genres. I kind of get bored. So I'm going, okay, what can I write today? So, you know, I've written historical mysteries with a paranormal element. I've written flat-out mysteries. I've written definitely paranormal when you're dealing with, you know, the Demon Trap series. There's always a romantic subplot. And every now and again, I'll do a classic, you know, paranormal romance where it is, you know, 50-50. But I always like to have that romance in there because that's what makes it really cool.
Well, so, Tadra, yeah, you paranormal, too.
I do. I started out paranormal, so I have a special affinity for that.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean, started up? Yourself, you were paranormal? she can read my mind. I'm in trouble now. Oh, boy.
No, I started out. No, I actually do have my children convinced that at times I can read their minds. So they're mm-hmm. you know, they try to keep that in mind. But no, I did. I started out writing paranormal YA, and continued on that way, and really never intended to go contemporary. And it surprised me when it happened, but it did. So I kind of as Jana said, I cross genres and I get bored and I jump here and I jump there. And when I'm writing contemporary, I think, wow, I really need to get back to paranormal. When I'm writing paranormal, I think the same thing about contemporary. So, yeah, you know.
Well, you girls are so full of ideas, and it's you know, when I was at the Beach Babes Book Blast where here in Tampa, I was going around to all the different lines and talking to the readers, the ones who your fans who had come to mm-hmm. you know to meet you and to get their books signed and to get some selfies, and they are always so, I mean, they know your characters, they know your books so well, and you know, like they'll say, oh, she finished that series. I didn't want her to finish that series. I wanted more. And I said, I'm sure she's coming out with a new series. But do you find that when you write something? Well, I know, like, Jana, you wrote a very popular series called Demon Trappers. And is that finished? That's the end of Demon Trappers?
Well, it's according to New York, it was ended at book four. But my readers kept, as you said, they keep writing me and going, I want more Riley and Beck stories. I want my. So I talked to my husband. I said, should I go ahead and do this? He said, why not? You had an indie publish. So I go, yeah, well. So I put out fifth book, which is actually a novella, called Gray Matters, about a year and a half ago. And another full-size book is coming out this October because the readers just say, look, we're not done with the series. You know, your New York publisher might say, okay, we are, but we're not. And we want to know how the story progresses. And I'm going, okay, the neat thing about indie publishing is I can get those books out in the hands of the readers worldwide. So I went, okay, you guys want more books? You got them.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love that you react to the readers and that, you know, I love to see that interaction of how when you guys are at these events and the readers come up and they are so excited and you know that they're going to go home and they're going to talk about it for weeks that they met you and they're going to show your book to people and say, I went to that event. And it's just, I love to see that enthusiasm. Is it the yes, same for you? Definitely. You get really high from this?
We hope. We hope that that's what they do. They go home and they show everybody and they post about it. And they, we do. We hope that that's what happens. But yes, it's. I was asked this morning to contribute to a list about pros and cons about book events as an author, coming at it from an author's point of view. And I said, for me, one of the biggest pros is being in a place with people who speak my language. So when, but with both authors and with readers, especially when I say, well, this character did this and whatever, they know who I'm talking about. You know, even my own family might be looking at me a little odd, but my readers know. And so that's one of the great things about these book events is, as you said, you know, they're so excited and they come up and they say, well, I'm at this point in this book and I'm really worried about, I don't know how you're going to bring this around. Just keep reading.
You know, trust me, it'll work out. Yes. It looks gruesome now. go ahead.
Yeah, you wonder if Harper Lee had had that kind of enthusiasm if she'd have kept writing instead of putting it up, you know. Yeah, it's because it is so much fun to see the readers and their enthusiasm. I just loved it. I met one lady, she must have been like 85. And she's standing in line for this. Now, I won't say which author. I will say this author was one of the ones who verged a little on the more erotic side, and this very old lady is waiting in this line, and I said,
yes.
"What? Are you a fan of?" She said, "I'm thinking about writing myself." I said, "Oh, that's nice." And she said, "You know, you have to do research." Okay, that's good. And of course, that was I don't know if Megan and Kim, who arranged a beach bet. Babe's Book Blast, will mind that I say that this was the author who brought down the three hunks cover models. So I really enjoyed that. Now, do you enjoy, how do both of you have hunks on your covers? No.
No. They put girls. You know, they put Riley in the front of my cover.
Yes, I love the covers with Riley.
You know, they didn't put Beck on there. I have a picture of Beck. I finally found the perfect model that's Beck, and I'm going. But it's funny because my readers see him differently. Every reader sees your characters differently. They bring their own experiences and baggage to the story. And so things that I see is not what they see. And it's really fascinating that it's such a, you know, almost a four-dimensional sort of medium that the books are.
So do you give your input on the cover models themselves?
I do, yeah. I go through and I pick which ones will work and which ones weren't. We're about to start working on the cover for the new Demon Trappers one. And the problem with the U.S. covers varied in their design, so I have to figure out how I'm going to kind of meld in with that. But yeah, I come from a graphics background. I used to work in a company that did graphics, so I didn't do that, but I got an eye for it. So I know to tell them what I want, and then I step back and let the artist, you know, the cover artist do it, because they're way better at that than I am. But I have very definite views, and so I'm nice. I tried to be nice, because the last thing you want to do is annoy your cover artist.
So, and now, like, Demon Trappers, I know, is published in, like, 10 different countries?
Yeah, 10 counting the U.S.
Yeah, so do you have different covers in these countries, or do most of them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, they all have different covers, and it's all fascinating to see within, you know, within the country what kind of cover works for them versus what would work over here. Because, you know, every country's readers are different, and different things appeal to them. So I have Pinterest site or board that's all the different covers, so people can see what they look like, and it's quite amazing.
Oh, so that's when they go to Pinterest, it's under Jenna Oliver, right? They would see that. Are you there? Oh, did we drop her again? Okay, we're gonna try to get Jenna back, and meanwhile, we'll talk to Tadra. Tadra, you know, I was talking about Jane. I was going to spell her name. Is she back? Well, we'll try to get her back. Jana Alexander's name is spelled J-A-N-A. Mm-hmm. And Oliver. I'm sorry, Jana Oliver's name. Now, your name is very interesting, and we have to tell the spelling because, you know, if people are looking you up.
That's right. I'm like Sharon Madonna. There's one Tawdra. So if you look up, if you Google T-A-W-D-R-A, no last name, you will find me.
You will find.
Yes, it. Yes. And I had somebody argue with me at an event back this spring about whether or not it was a pen name. And I said, no. This is the name my parents gave me. And my last name is the name that my husband gave me or I took. And this man said to me, no. This is your pen name. Well, no, it's not, but okay. So, yes, my parents gifted me with a unique name,
Because they were originally thinking of calling you Audra.
My father's. My father's plan was to call me Audra. My father was about ready to go to Vietnam. They knew that I was on the way, but my dad was going to Vietnam. So they had to determine a name. And he liked Audra. My mother did not. So they took the T from my maiden name, which was Thompson, put it in front of Audra, changed the U to a W, and came up
with
Audra.
And gave you a very unique name. Yes. Hi. Jenna, are you there?
I'm back.
Okay. We dropped you, but we got you back. So that's great, because I was just about to spell your name. We were just spelling Tawdra's name, because Tawdra has such an unusual name. Of course, my name is unusual, because it's Patsy with a Z, P-A-T-Z-I. And, of course, your name is rather unusual, too, and it's spelled J-A-N-A.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very nice, and it's easier to find us, I think, with these. That's one of the things I advised somebody recently. They were saying, well, I want to write a book. I said, well, you know, go out and register your .com, your name, because, you know, if you don't, it'll be gone, you know.
Very true.
So you have to... So many of the authors have to use their middle initial, and it's hard to remember the middle initial.
Yeah.
I had, several authors on Carol Perry, for example, but you have to write Carol J. Perry to get the right one. And she was on, and she writes these wonderful books, Witch City Mysteries. Mm-hmm. So it's very nice if you are planning to write. I'm sure that's one of the things that people should think about is to make sure that they register their name well in advance.
Oddly enough, I did not have to worry about that.
No,
my
you
name
did not.
Was available.
Exactly.
I could see why.
Exactly. Look, I have to take a quick break for my sponsors, and then we'll be right back. Don't drop off, Jenna.
I'll try not to.
Okay.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Love a good book? Come out to Orlando for the Indie Book Fest 2015. Hang out with over 60 best-selling authors at Fanfare, where you can chat, take selfies, and get autographs. Enjoy the fun theme parties. Join us July 31st to August 2nd at the beautiful Caribe Royale Hotel in Orlando. To buy tickets, go to www.indiebookfest.com. Find your own story at the Indie Book Fest 2015.
Are you looking for the perfect gift? Going to a wedding? A special birthday? The Silver Queen is the place to go. Don't settle for the ordinary. At the Silver Queen, you will find a unique gift. Things that you won't find at the mall. From beautiful photo frames to silver and china. Guys, looking for that perfect ring? You'll find it at the Silver Queen. And don't forget their bridal registry. Located at 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo. Visit their website, silverqueen.com. They have some wonderful coupons. And when you go to the store, tell them that Patsy with a Z sent you.
If you're in the market for your next car, then the place to shop is AutoShopper.com. You'll have access to hundreds of dealers right here in the area, and you can search over millions of cars nationwide on AutoShopper.com. AutoShopper.com is in hundreds of locations in the Tampa Bay area. Find your next car by taking advantage of all the power and reputation of AutoShopper.com. From your desktop, you can read car reviews, automotive news, calculate payments, use our tools to research, and get a Carfax vehicle history report at AutoShopper.com. This is the publication to pick up and read when you're looking to purchase your next car. Log on to AutoShopper.com and search for your special vehicle. And if you want to sell your vehicle, then advertise it in AutoShopper.com magazine. The readers can view a picture of your car and call you directly. It's all happening at AutoShopper.com, your auto buying and selling source. Pick up the magazine today or log on to AutoShopper.com, the premier source for car buying or selling. AutoShopper.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with two romantic women. Jenna Oliver and Tantra Kendall. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for that.
Okay. It's great to have you back. You know, I've had a few other romance writers on, and you're the first really deeply paranormal authors. But one thing I found that all of you guys seem to do is you have some interest in fairy tales. Tell me a little bit about your book, Jaina, about Briar Rose.
Well, Briar Rose is a retelling of Sleeping Beauty that in my London publisher, of all people, said, hey, can you do that? Could you set a fairy tale in the South? And I thought, can I set a fairy tale in the South? That was a really good question. And so what was cool about it, though, in tagging back to your fairy tales, is having to go back through, you know, I knew the Disney fairy tales, so I went back and went through the Grimm Brothers versions, which are decidedly more gruesome.
And grim, yes.
Oh, yeah, very grim. Because they were, you know, sort of more, you know, they were tales designed to try to alter your behavior.
And terrify you.
Absolutely. And so I went through some of those, and I said, wow, I'd like to incorporate some of that, even though it's in the South. So, you know, taking my heroine out of her little tiny 600-person Georgia town and taking her inside the curse that's trying to kill her allowed me to do all that kind of stuff. So I could weave in steampunk and some steampunk elements and all the different fairy tale elements. So it was a lot of fun. But I keep hearkening back to some of those creepier Grimm Brothers tales, and I'm going, ew, yuck.
That's true. Some of them are just too much where you can't even think about them. What about you, Tantra? Do you like fairy tales?
I do. I love fairy tales. Yes. I do. I have not used any strictly in my writing at this point, but I do. I love Sleeping Beauty. It's actually one of my favorites. So.
Yeah, well, fairy tales do come true. I had that I have this radio program is my dream come true, and it's funny that several weeks ago I had Ricky Kleeman, who wrote a book called Fairy Tales Do Come True, and it's a story about how women, determined women, can make their success, and both of you have done that. I know. Right now you're in Atlanta, and Tadra's on her way to where are you?
I'm on my way to St. Louis
with a car full of books, and you guys really work the system, right?
Yes, we do. We work very hard. When people say, "Oh, so you just go and you just type your little story and that's it," right? And I just laugh and think, "Sure,
I wish.
Yes, I wish. I wish. Yes,
yeah." Well, you know, I don't know where you learn all of this. I mean, I know that's partly what you're doing at this event, and Jaina, you're talking on some of the seminars at the event, right?
Yes, She is.
Right. Yeah, I'm on some of the panels. And a lot of it's networking, and a lot of it's learn by trial and error, you know, or, you know, walking the gauntlet, as it were. But right now there's so much information out there, and we're so willing to share it with each other. We can say, hey, how did this work for you? What, you know, as Todd was coming up with her list for book signings, you know, the kinds of do's and don'ts, that kind of stuff is invaluable for the newer members of our crew here, because they don't have any experience and they need to know what has worked for others. And then you kind of winnow out what works for you and what doesn't work for you, because your fan base may be different than someone else's. But that openness and that willing to talk about what you've learned, what worked well, what didn't work well, seems to really fuel the industry, and that's important.
Well, I think it is so nice. I noticed that sharing of resources and of knowledge among the authors when I went to some of these events, and I think that's fantastic.
It is, and it's one of our goals for Indie Book Fest, is that while it is an event for readers to meet authors and for authors to meet their readers, and there's a huge component there, we also wanted it to be a time for authors to network, to pick up maybe some tips from mentors, to have time to hear from people in the industry. And we're really excited that we're going to have Dan Woods from Draft to Digital, which is a newer player in the book distribution game. And he's going to be able to share a lot with us. And then we have, you know, we just have very experienced authors who can speak to what has worked for them and what we anticipate working over the next, year, and saying a year may not be
probably
right.
Probably a little long. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Exactly. We usually understand that things change so quickly that maybe we're talking 2 or 3 months, and then you have to revisit. So between the panels, between Jana's keynote, between we're doing on Thursday night kind of an informal industry night where we have a huge group of new authors who are going to be signing at Indie Book Fest, and they are just hungry to pick up information, knowledge, you know, kind of. Hear what's going on, and I think even experienced authors can learn. Maybe, what do you think, Jana? You think we can pick up a few?
Always, because you know, there's always somebody who's tried something different that you never thought of.
Exactly,
kind of in your little rut, and they go, "Well, I did this, and you did that, and it worked. Wow, you know." And so you go try it, and it will either work for you or it won't. But then you've learned something. I meet so many new authors who go, "Well, I don't want to make mistakes." And I'm like, for sure, because I won't be sexist here. You're going to make a ton of them, so just line them up and learn from them.
Exactly. And the great thing, especially, I'm a little prejudiced about indies, but the great thing is that there's never really a deadline on improving something. You can release a book, and maybe you make a few mistakes in how you release it. Well, guess what? You can continue promoting it. You can re-release it. You can give it a new cover. You can. There's just so many options that it's never really dead. I don't think, anyway.
Yeah, and you don't have that on the traditional side. They have their own bonuses and bennies, but once that book's out there, you're pretty much done with the thing. And on the indie side, you can go, okay, I can change some of the stuff around, or I can put new links in the back, or I can add a short story to go with this story that I've just written, you know. You can just mess with it, and it's real fun.
Exactly. Stick it in an anthology and give it new life that way. Oh, there's just so much.
That's fantastic. Yeah. It's nice to have that flexibility.
It is. It's very nice.
Now, I don't even... you know, I wonder sometimes where you girls get your ideas. I mean, some of it is way out there from the mind. some of it is strange, and I wonder sometimes about your minds. But what is your most outrageous? What's the most outrageous thing in your books, Jana? Anything that... people say, "Whoa!"
Outrageous. I'm having trouble sorting here, Patsy. Because I tend to go for the outrageous. I think the thing I pushed the most of the envelope on, and I was not sure whether I was going to get any hassles about it, is I put in the Demon Travers series, put a 17-year-old girl right in the middle of the big grand game between heaven and hell. So we got to see the angels from heaven, you know, the heaven's angels, and we got to see the fallen from hell. We got to see Lucifer. And I was treading on a lot of ground there that might have gotten me in trouble with various folks. And surprisingly enough, the reception has been very good from folks of all religious stripes or non-religious stripes. And I wasn't sure, because anytime you get into that and you start digging into that sort of, you know, theme without, you know, I tried not to make it, you know, a heavily religious book, because that was, but I was getting into the dynamics between heaven and hell and the fall of Lucifer and all that, and why Riley gets stuck in the middle of them. And luckily, I didn't gain, you know, end up with any problems. But that wasn't totally out there in the sense of ideas like what you asked, but it was pushing the envelope, and I waited about 10 years to write that book because I knew I didn't have the skill set to do it. And so now I'm really glad I did. And I do get emails from people going, okay, where did you get your idea of this? And I'll cite them the information, and they'll go off and do their research. So it's kind of cool, actually.
Well, it works. It works.
And, yeah, it works.
It works very well, and I know that it's a... The reviews of all of that series are fantastic. So, and it's amazing to think it's in 10 countries. How many languages is that?
That's in UK. So yeah, it's really interesting to pull out my high school French and try to parse through one.
So, I know you do tours. You do these book events all over America. Have you done any in London yet?
I've been in out of London. I think I did 3 book tours there, to Australia as well.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Yeah, it was an immense year. I had a lot of frequent flyer miles. But, yes, I've had the privilege of getting out and getting to do that sort of thing. My UK publisher was really good about bringing me in and doing book events. So we did a whole week going through schools and talking to different classes. And it was really great because a lot of the girls looked just like Hermione because they were all in their little school uniforms and everything. Of course, it was hot like it is now over there. It was like 80 and they were broiling. They looked good.
Well, you know, it's always nice to see the variety of, in both of your books, the women are strong, and the women are you know, not just damsel in distress types. And I like that, the strength of your women characters, and that women can do all sorts of wonderful things.
Exactly. That's a policy of mine. No weak women. And even if a character starts out seeming, you know, especially in YA, you can start out with a character maybe not being completely empowered. But I like to see the journey. I like to see the journey from not quite damsel in distress, but maybe not quite able to save herself to the end where she is. So
that's great. I think it's well, you know, the books, when you see the enthusiasm of the readers, and they get so much out of it, they get so much pleasure out of it, and they learn so much, I think. Mm-hmm. They really do, and that by having strong female characters who can take control of things in many cases,
exactly.
I think it's very empowering.
Exactly.
Definitely. So it's fantastic. Now, I need to take another quick sponsor break because we love our sponsors, but when I get back, I'd like to talk to Jaina about you. You wrote a book called Socially Engaged, The Author's Guide to Social Media. Mm-hmm. And yep. I would like to talk about that and with Tadra more about the social media that she finds the most effective. So we'll just take a quick sponsors break.
Is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Love a good book? Come out to Orlando for the Indie Book Fest 2015. Hang out with over 60 best-selling authors at Fanfare, where you can chat, take selfies, and get autographs. Enjoy the fun theme parties. Join us July 31st to August 2nd at the beautiful Caribe Royale Hotel in Orlando. To buy tickets, go to www.indiebookfest.com. Find your own story at the Indie Book Fest 2015.
Are you looking for the perfect gift? Going to a wedding? A special birthday? The Silver Queen is the place to go. Don't settle for the ordinary. At the Silver Queen, you will find a unique gift. Things that you won't find at the mall. From beautiful photo frames to silver and china. Guys, looking for that perfect ring? You'll find it at the Silver Queen. And don't forget their bridal registry. Located at 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo. Visit their website, silverqueen.com. They have some wonderful coupons. And when you go to the store, tell them that Patsy with a Z sent you.
Charles Ruttenberg Realty proudly sponsors Joy on Paper with Patsy Gill. Charles Ruttenberg sets the standard of excellence with residential and commercial real estate transactions and can help you on your next transaction, whether that is for a second home, investment, or downsizing. Call us today at 727-538-9200 extension 2 and allow me to help you. I'm John Rakowski, the broker at Charles Ruttenberg Realty.
Arg, matey. When it's time for lunch, when it's time for dinner, when the show's over, when the day's over, when it's time to chill, where do we go? Over to Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub. It's literally in our backyard, right in back of the WTAN studios at 700 Eldridge Street, just north of downtown Clearwater. Just look for the broadcast tower. Nancy's food and atmosphere get rave reviews. The laid-back patio is a great place to hang out, dine, and listen to live music at night. And Nancy's one of the friendliest proprietors in town. And now, Nancy is serving Sunday jazz brunch from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Brunch served with eggs benedict, crepes, waffles, lox and bagels, shrimp, oysters, and a build-your-own omelet. That's all at Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub, 700 Eldridge Street in Clearwater. That's right where Eldridge crosses the Pinellas Trail between Myrtle and Fort Harrison. Call 446-3717. 446-3717. You're listening to the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with Tadra and Jana to talk about social media. Jana, you wrote a book called Socially Engaged, The Author's Guide to Social Media.
Yes, indeed.
A little.
That was nonfiction, and wow, is that a lot of work.
So, it is a big thing. Social media changes, as we were talking about, it changes so quickly. Things have changed so much. But what do you find, which forms of social media do you like the best? Which have you found the most effective for promoting your books?
I think,
well, you know, it really depends on the author. Some authors do incredibly well on Twitter because it's a very concise little medium. You've got to get the message out. You can't, like, you know, go on for chapters and chapters like some of us do. And other people do very well with Facebook. Now, for me, or Instagram, or any of the others out there, Pinterest, for me, it tends to be Facebook almost primarily with a little Twitter interaction, but I seem to do best out on Facebook. And while I have other folks that my co-author is a newbie author, she's still writing her first book, but she's a social media professor at one of the Kennesaw State University in Georgia. And so she stays abreast of all this. And, man, she is out there everywhere. She's always putting something up on Instagram and whatever. She's already building a platform, an author platform, and it's awesome to see. But she keeps going, you should try this new one, you know, or try that one. I'm going, I like Facebook. I'm kind of in a rut, which is bad. But I'm going, I also have a very heavy set of deadlines this year. So I'm going, oh, I'm in for social media or get the books done. So I have to kind of balance it.
And Tadra, what about you? What do you prefer?
Like Jana, Facebook seems to be most effective for me. I'm on all the all the venues, and I liked Twitter in the beginning, Now it's very difficult for me to separate out the shouting on Twitter, you know, buy my book, buy my book, buy my book. And I think that engaging on Twitter is harder to do, but when you do, it can be very effective. And we know that, you know, studies tell us, studies by whom I don't know, but studies tell us that iBooks buyers tend to flock more towards Twitter than they do toward Facebook. So you're going to, so when I have a promotion or something I'm doing with iBooks, which I have, I do a lot on iBooks, I tend to go towards Twitter. I tend to you know, target that audience a little bit more. Instagram I use a lot when I'm traveling. Right now I, you know, I've been Instagramming all day because it's just a more immediate venue. It's a little less user friendly as far as sharing links. I don't, you have to have a link in your profile. It's very difficult to put it on the actual post. But it's very visual, and it will actually, you know, get people excited.
Do you like blogging?
I do. I have a fairly active website. I am big on that because my business partner started out as a blogger. She trained me very well, and I do think that is probably somewhat effective as an author. It's hard to balance the time commitment to blogging on a regular basis, I think.
And Jenna, what about you?
That's the same problem. I started out as a blogger way back when blogs were new, because that was the only way to get the word out that I actually wrote books, other than going to conventions. And now I'm actually fairly appallingly mad about blogging. I have to remind myself to at least go out once a week and put something out there. And, you know, I once joked that one of the reasons, besides the fact that I really liked the cat, the reason that I actually adopted her was so I had something to blog about. To me, you know, I'm going, my life isn't that exciting. And I had a friend of mine who goes, it doesn't have to be exciting. It is just another opportunity for the readers to see how you do what you do and how your life is going. And I'm going, okay, I'll see what I can do. So I'm trying to get better, but it's hard. as Dodger said, it's the time commitment.
Did you both know as children that you were going to be writers, or did you have careers before your writing?
I was always a writer. I was I had something published when I was in I think 7th grade, and I sent my first manuscript to Harper Row when I was in 5th grade. I still have the rejection card. Yes, I know.
wow.
Yeah, I know. It was very ambitious. And that was way back in the Stone Ages. And I did not, I always wrote, but I did not do anything else career-wise. I was married. I still have 4 children, and I homeschooled, and I wrote a lot of homeschool curriculum. I wrote nonfiction. I wrote parenting articles. I wrote homeschooling articles. I wrote for several homeschooling blogs, that kind of thing. But it wasn't until 2008 that I started writing fiction again. So that was my
segue.
And
since then, you've written, I don't know, how many books? How many?
I think that the release was, I think I had my 22nd and 23rd release earlier this month.
Wow. Not so bad from 2008. And what about you, Jenna?
I actually wanted to be a spy. Actually went very boring. Now I was a nurse for a while. I worked a number of jobs. It was funny. About 10 years in, I burned out of nursing. I spent some time working at radio stations. That was fun. Learned how to write advertising copy for 30-second ads. Was a travel agent for a while, and then I wrote advertising for I did copywriting work for a company that wrote for Sam's Club, Walmart, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I usually kind of joke that the jump from working for those folks to writing fiction wasn't that big.
It also gave you a talent for writing concise dialogue.
Right. And that's why I do well with my back cover copy, because I can boil it right down. And looking back, all those jobs played into what I'm doing now. And I'd always been writing all along, but just like, I got to 1998, and all of a sudden, I had to write. It was an absolute obsession, and so my husband's wise enough to just say, "Go for it," because he knows me. And and all that played in, because all those things that I'd learned, you know, played into the writing career. And it's the longest job I've ever had because I don't get bored, where the others I would tend to get bored. Well, this is always changing. So I'm going, this is the perfect job for me, because every book is different, and I get to use all my organizational skills and my travel skills and my, you know, my skills. So, yeah, I was all over the map, and I kind of joke that I still do get to be a spy because I can write about spies, so mm-hmm. it's kind of neat, and nobody shoots at me.
That's great. You know, it's wonderful, and it's always so nice if you're... your family is behind you and supports oh, yeah. what you're doing, because writers, although you do a lot of running around, you do need those quiet times.
You do. Mm-hmm. You absolutely do. Yes, I'm very blessed to have a very supportive family and a lot of help.
Do you write early in the mornings?
Not if I can help it. No.
I'm with you.
I tend to be more of a late night person. Yeah. So after everybody has kind of gone off to their own places and everything shut down, that's when I tend to do the majority of my work. Yeah. Or the majority of my writing. I'm always working.
Yeah, you're right. Working.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm an afternoon person. I don't really start firing up until about 10:30 or 11 in the morning, and then I can go until about 7, and then I kind of settle down, and I usually read somebody else's book just to disengage so that my characters don't plague me all night. But then I don't have kids, and I don't have elderly parents, so it's just me. So there's no excuse for me not to get work done.
So beside your own books, what authors do you like to read? Both of you.
I love Nora Roberts. I love Anne Rice. Those are two. I love Mary Ballou. I can never say her name right. Ballough.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to be a little eclectic in my reading. Right now, here's my guilty secret. I've been stuck on new adult sports romances. And yes,
I am.
Oh, it's really, there's so much fun. Let's see, Elle Kennedy and Serena Bowen and Cora Carmack and who's the other? Monica Murphy. Yeah. So
all centered around sports.
There's usually hockey, football, and see, I have a sports obsession, especially football. Ah. So for me, this time of year, this is kind of feeding my football withdrawal. So yes.
Isn't the world marvelous? There's always some little niche you can find to write about. I mean,
exactly.
Who would have thought?
I know. And I don't write it. So it's, for me, it's very freeing to be able to read it and really completely enjoy it. And
Well, so obviously somebody's put their interest to good use here.
Exactly. Yeah.
And what about you, Jana? What do you like to read?
I'm pretty much an omnivore. I tend to not read much YA because I get over and write YA. So I don't want to kind of contaminate my brain. But I'll go through the usual run of Georgian or Regency romances, you know, Eloisa James. I'll get into whole series.
Well, you know, she was on my program a month ago.
Yeah,
she's wonderful.
Writer.
Oh, she's, yeah. You know, I talked to her. She was in London doing research for some more of her wonderful mm-hmm. Desperate Duchess books.
Mm-hmm.
And She does such detailed, unbelievable.
I understand the research required, because I wrote a time travel series set in Victorian London. It took me 9 months to do the research for that. And so I can imagine for her to get that kind of detail and yet weave it in so that you're not going, okay, you know, she doesn't do the Herman Melville syndrome where she's giving you 20 pages about whales. I mean, she weaves it in. It's so subtle that it just builds the world, and I really appreciate
exactly.
that.
Exactly. If one is studying wants to know about a period, the Regency mm-hmm. period, it's the best way to learn is to read her books.
Sure.
They're fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. I also read, ahead.
No, go. What else do you read?
I also read paranormal. So I like urban fantasy. So I'm a real fan of Jim Butcher's Harry Dresden series and Alona mm-hmm. Andrews' Peter Daniels series. They're really excellent. And I like the world building. So I kind of bounce around whatever fascinates me at the moment. Sort of like Todrick. Whatever fascinates me at the moment is what I'm reading.
Okay, before I run out of time, I want you both to give your web pages so that people will know where to find you. Jana?
Okay, I'm janaoliver.com.
Okay.
And I'm todrickhandel.com.
So. Okay, and tell us for tickets to the Indie.
For tickets to Indie Book Fest, because we are so close to it starting, we're a little over a week away, but you can contact me on my Facebook page or my author Facebook page or through my website, or you can go to indiebookfestcon.com. However, the more immediate way is going to be to get to me or to Mandy Stevens, just because we have closed the traditional ticket sales, but we do still have some room, and we're willing to make that happen.
So in addition to the panels that I know both of you are going to be on, there are going to be some nice social events?
There are, yes. We have the thing I'm most excited about is something called Fanfare, where the readers can come and hang out with authors. No book signing, no book sale. The book signing will be the next day. But they can just kind of meet the authors with no pressure, no pressure on either side, and hang out and get to know them. We have a gothic romance party on Friday night. And then on Saturday night.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yes,
yeah, I love that.
Excited about that. On Saturday night, author H.D. Smith and I are combining. She's doing fairy tales on one side of the room, and I'm doing beach on the other side of the room, because my theme this summer is beach loving. So that's what we're doing. So that's on Saturday night, and the signing is from 2 to 5:30 on Saturday, and that's free.
I want to thank you both for being on the program today. It was wonderful. Tadra, thanks for driving here. She's off and running. But I want to thank you both and have a wonderful, wonderful time. It's just been great talking to you. This is Patsy. And I'm just going to say bye to everybody. This is Patsy with a Z, wishing you a great week and a happy and safe weekend. And make sure that, remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken. So there is a book in you. Get busy like these two girls and write. Join me next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for Joy on Paper. Meanwhile, remember, don't let anyone steal your joy. Bye.